to make friends.
I ain't here to make no friends.
I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to win.
I'm not here to make friends.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to I'm Not Here to Make Friends, a reality show podcast.
This is big episode 45.
45. And Brian's back.
I'm back. Yay.
If
vacation
you haven't noticed,
is over.
I can't do an impression that well. Sometimes, but not.
I don't think
not...
she's ever tried.
All I know is that you do this a lot.
Do I?
Well, not that much, but like when you're talking, you'll be like.
Oh, that's so I don't get spit all over you when we talk.
I know.
Because we share a microphone.
Yeah.
We don't have a huge budget here.
We're like the soup.
We wish we were like the soup.
Well, I mean, budget-wise.
I am wearing my skinny tie here today. But other than
and
that...
And I am wearing a bikini. No, I'm not at all.
No, and she's got a beard on.
And I have a beard and chest hair. I made like a...
American.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know what that is.
Like fake body hair. Alright. Toupee is for the head, the merkin is for other parts.
Okay. Alright, so today we're going to be talking about The Amazing Race and Hell's Kitchen, both getting ready to go into the finales.
I know, I can't believe it.
Actually, Top Chef.
Forget
Hell's
Top
Kitchen.
Chef.
Hell's Kitchen, the finale actually aired last night.
Yeah, but,
we're not going to talk about it because,
give
like
you a
I said,
time to watch it.
Exactly. We're going to give you some time to Hulu. God dang it, Hulu TiVo, broadband, whatever you need to do to watch it.
Yeah. So we're only going to be discussing three chefs compete.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about three chefs compete, and it was actually a pretty decent episode. So
yeah, it was all right.
But yeah, do you want to get into a little bit of news?
Oh yeah, do your little news sounder.
Oh!
That started off strong, kind of petered out at the end.
It did, but see, but I was trying to go for like the hospital noise because Daisy De La Hoya,
yes,
in the hospital.
What is she in the hospital for?
"Quote unquote exhaustion."
Okay.
But if you go to our website, notmakefriends.com, you can read the article that I found about it from MSNBC, because this is important news.
It is.
It is. Evidently, she
it
was...
Is.
Yeah, question mark? Evidently, she was at Les Deux on Thursday acting all crazy. I didn't know that was out of the ordinary, but... They say she was out of the ordinary. I don't know.
Is it my fault for adding all those mean things I do about her on the website?
I don't know. I blame Mike Boogie.
I always blame Mike Boogie.
I think
Boogie.
Mike Boogie just gave her a bad roofie.
A bad roofie?
Yeah.
No such thing.
Maybe a
Whoa!
Little... Bazing! I should not talk bad about Mr. Boogie. I love that guy. He is my favorite big brother ever.
Aww.
Ever. So if he ever wants to hang out...
Yeah, give us a call at Not Make Friends. Reach us
number.
At 206-202-3261. Call us up, Mr. Boogie.
Go, Mike Boogie. Yes, yeah, so that's some groundbreaking news that actually just happened today, May 8th, 2009.
Yeah, May 8th. Happy birthday to my little brother.
There
that's
you go.
Reality show news.
That is the biggest reality show
that's
news.
That's so real.
Top Chef Masters.
Oh, yeah, what's going on with Top Chef Masters?
Starting really soon, I think at the beginning of June.
All right.
I think the day's like June 11th.
June 11th.
Not 100%. June 11th is the date that's sticking out in my head. But I got an email today from the powers that be at Bravo. Everybody should go to bravotv.com because they're hosting a contest right
now.
Oh,
what's this contest, Allie?
Oh, this contest is a good one. I actually, you know, I can't pull any strings, but I'm hoping I win.
Oh, so you're in the contest, too.
I'm in, yeah. I get no special treatment here. I'm in it. I'm in it to win it. Because I'm not here to make friends.
I get it.
See
clever.
Yeah.
You did it.
For charity, because this is Top Chef Masters, and it's for charity.
Yeah.
So that just makes me a D-bag. But go to bravotv.com, fill out the contest form. It's to host a Top Chef Masters premiere party.
Okay.
And they give you, like, everything... to do it besides friends. So if you have at least five friends, and they make you confirm that, do you have five friends? You have to answer yes or no. Do you have at least five friends? I had to think about it for a minute.
Five friends that can make it at the drop of a hat?
Well, it wouldn't be at the drop of a hat. It'd be June 11th.
Okay. Well, you don't know when you're going to win.
Well, no, but
you might not win until the 10th.
Yeah, but no. It's Top Chef Masters. This is appointment television. But they give you everything to do it. They give you, like, special, like, Top Chef Masters napkins and t-shirts and, like, a pitcher for your drinks and a Top Chef Masters chip bowl.
Dude, this all sounds pretty sweet.
I know. I love that kind of swag. So, I don't know. Bravo TV powers that be. Hey, just give it to me and I'll do it regardless. And we'll give you, I mean, we're promoting you.
Yeah.
We are Top Chef Masters June 11th-ish. On Bravo. And if you want to check out who's going to be on Top Chef Masters, you can go to bravotv.com and check it out. Or you can go to notmakefriends.com and search Top Chef Masters.
Yeah.
And I put an article up about that.
That article that you put up months ago.
Yeah, months ago when it was first announced, because that when it was news. My prediction right now?
Yeah.
It's going to be between...
Oh, let's hear it.
Wiley Dufresne.
I was going to say Wiley.
And Rick Bylus.
Rick Bylus. Oh, that sounds good.
Mainly because, A... Rick Bylus is a Chicago guy. And, you know.
Wiley's just awesome.
And Wiley's just awesome, exactly. So it's going to come down to Chicago versus just plain awesome.
Ooh.
And I kind of hope for Rick Bylus because he's a really underrated, really good, knowledgeable chef. He's like the Alton Brown of Chicago for Mexican food.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know who I thought the Alton Brown of Chicago was?
Who?
Alton Brown.
Alton Brown. He's from Chicago. But I said for Mexican food.
Oh, for Mexican food.
Yeah, like not just science. Like he just knows everything about Mexican food. Like he goes to Mexico. Like he's the reason I want to go to Puebla as opposed to like Cancun. Is that in Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in Mexico.
Part of Mexico.
That's part of Mexico. It totally is. I don't know why you're giving this.
I don't know. I'd never learned geography.
No, yes, Cancun is in Mexico. You know, it's
Cabo San Lucas?
It's on the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico.
Cabo San Lucas is in Mexico?
I believe it is.
Okay, see? I'm learning something new every day.
Man, I just pull up
Google sparingly. Earth
and so like, here you go, Allison, learn.
I don't want to learn geography. I just want to get on a plane and go. Because it's not about where you are, it's the people that you're with.
That's true.
I was watching, while you were coming over and getting ready to do this,
yeah.
I was watching on ABC, there was a Michael J. Fox special, because he has a new book coming out.
Oh, okay.
Called Always Looking Up, The Adventures of an Incurable Optimist, and it's all about, like, him and his Parkinson's, but it's not just about that, it's not like Another Lucky Man, which was his first book. And so they did a little documentary special where he went to, like, all these different places and, like, went to literally the happiest place on earth, like, up in the Himalayas, where instead of doing, like, gross national product and, like, documenting that, the government documents gross national happiness.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty cool. And he hung out in Chicago and, of course, talking to Cubs fans. And I was like, yeah. And he talked to Bonnie Hunt. Who was like, hey, you know.
Bonnie Hunt's cool.
She is cool. She's a diehard Cubs fan.
She's very funny.
She's really funny. And she was like, you know, because they were trying to figure out, like, what makes people an optimist. Like, is it, you know, just because things are going good for you? But, you know, he found out that it's better when it's shared in a group. Which is why that country, I forget the name of it, like, Budai or something like that.
Like, you weren't taking notes. You didn't know you were going to talk about this.
Yeah, I didn't know I was going to talk about it. But it was like, hey, it's better in a group because you're all sharing it and it's easier to accomplish. Like that country. Their country is really, really happy overall because they're all doing it. They're all working towards a goal. You know, they're all being communal. They're all, you know, helping each other out. And it was the same thing but opposite for Cubs fans because they're Michael J. Fox, ex Bonnie Hunt, you know, what do you do when the Cubs win? She's like, actually, I'm very worried about that, you know. And a lot of people joke, oh, the universe is going to end, you know. It means the end of days, you know. No one's going to know what to do. But, you know, it's kind of like misery loves company.
Yeah.
You're all striving for it to win together, you know. And you know, it made me think about, you know, misery loves company. Everybody thinks, oh, that's such a, you know, oh, it's such a downer. Misery loves company. But they were talking about how misery does love company. Sometimes being the lovable loser and being with a group of lovable losers makes you optimistic. You know, it makes you that way. And it was really interesting. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it and buy his new book as soon as it comes out.
There you go.
It's called Always Looking Up.
All right.
Because his first book was awesome.
You ready to do this?
Yes. And I don't know what that had to do with reality TV show news, except...
She loves Michael J. Fox.
I do love Michael J. Fox, and I'm optimistic I'll win the Bravo Top Chef Masters contest.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm running right.
Woo, Amazing Race 14, yeah!
Yes, Amazing Race 14. Of course, Amazing Race is a show where 11 teams of two race around the world, getting eliminated at each stop, and they're all fighting for a chance to win $1 million.
Yes, $1 million.
And we are down to our...
Final four.
Final four.
Because this episode was a continuation.
TBC.
Yeah.
It was a TBC. From last week's in Beijing.
Care.
Yes. Yes. From last week, where they were in Beijing, China, and they made them go to the pit stop, and Phil's like, oh, keep racing.
This is not the pit stop.
It's not the real pit stop.
Here is your next clue.
Which I thought was great. I don't know why they decided to do that. It was awesome, though.
Fake them out.
It didn't. It really was a good episode this time around.
It was really
It was really
watchable.
Close.
I
it was really
that.
Close. So, let's get right into it.
Well, we got our fake pit stop, and when they did find Phil, he would give them the clue to head to Beihai Dongmen.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Butchered that just a tiny bit.
Yeah, it's like a marketplace.
Yeah, and what they got to do is it's a market... street with a bunch of markets, and they gotta find the Travelocity Gnome.
In one of these stores.
Yeah.
Random stores.
And they're
all scattered all throughout,
and there's more gnomes than there are contest teams, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't wanna, what are the odds?
Yeah.
You gotta help them out a little bit.
Victor looks right at a gnome in this clothing shop in the corner and totally misses it. He's like, nope, there's not one here. He says that as he's walking by. And nobody even finds one in this clothing shop. Like, the ones that do get found...
It's not that cool. It's because they put the gnome, as the head of the mannequin. And it was it's kind of like that theory where, your mind fills in the blank.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody was doing. I don't know why. I didn't even see it at first. And Brian's like, it's right there. And I made him rewind it and say, I don't see it. Even I couldn't see it, and I'm not in the race.
I was just like, come on, Victor.
Yeah.
Maybe this is one of those... skills for Amazing Race where I would have to.
Yeah, come exactly.
Out on.
Yeah, and
if we were together racing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have found that at all.
Yeah.
But I definitely would have found the one that Margie and Luke found.
Oh, the one
because
in the,
I like food.
What is it, the nut shop or the food shop or whatever?
Yeah,
it was.
I don't know if it was. It was obviously a food shop, but it looked like it was predominantly nuts.
Yeah, a big thing of peanuts and stuff. Like
yeah,
that.
So I don't know if it was just that section of the store that was nuts, the nut section.
The nut section.
Nut section.
Sorry that you hang out.
Because I was like, I would have found that one really easy. Because it was in the nut section. I didn't say that. I just did now, though.
But
so,
yeah.
It's a little weird having you back, Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Throwing off my game.
Throwing off your game. You did such a professional podcast without me. And then I come in, I'm like, wow, 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 wow. Look at that talking cat. Patrick is gonna kill us.
I know.
What is this stuff you're doing?
Anywho, so Margie and Luke, they find the first gnome in that nut shop. Jamie and Kara, they find one. What did I say?
Kara.
Kara. Kara. Is there a different one?
Yeah.
I don't hear it.
It's like Tara and Tara?
I don't hear it.
Well, how do you not hear that?
I don't hear it.
It's like car with an A. Instead of care with
an Kara.
A. No, Kara.
Tara?
Kara, don't call me Kara, goddammit. That's your lesson.
I'm sorry, Kara.
There.
And they found one, they actually found a gnome second, and it was in an herb shop.
But their dilemma, they cannot find a cabbie that knows where to go.
Yeah.
Because
the clue reads...
clue on the bottom of the gnome says they need to get to Gugong Shai Bei Chow and find an electric bike.
Mm-hmm.
And you use this bike, you bike past the Forbidden City and through Tiananmen Square to Dongdang Subway Station, and you will find your next clue.
Yeah. So... at first, like, Tammy and Victor kind of didn't know that they were electric bikes. Yeah, because she was like, I'm really pedaling really hard at this. Is there gears? And she, like, pushes a button. She's like, oh, it glides.
No, she turns the little thing.
Yeah, she turns the little knob trying to get the gear, like, trying to change it. She's like, oh, it glides.
Yeah, she sees the little lights. And
So that was kind of funny. And they did a really good job. But they get to see, like, I would have loved this. Like, they get to see the flag-raising ceremony and the guards doing, like, all their marches, like...
yeah, it's pretty rad.
It's really, really rad. It's really, really rad. So, the order that they get to these bikes...
yeah.
Because it's pretty easy to find these bikes. There's just a huge line of these electric bikes.
Yeah.
So, Tammy and Victor get there first.
Yeah.
Margie and Luke get there second. Keisha and Jen get there third. And Jamie and Kara...
yeah.
...get there last, because Jamie and Kara had problems with their taxi drivers. Yeah. Victor and Tammy, they were just having... A, really good luck, and B, they kind of know the area.
Yeah.
So, my money's on them.
Yeah. and they need to get to the detour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somewhere along the way, Keisha and Jen get ahead of Margie and Luke on the bikes.
Yeah.
Not sure when.
They were really close. It was Margie and Luke and Keisha and Jen. They were really close, and they were, like, running for these bikes, right?
Yeah.
So, Luke actually almost hits one of them as they're running to the bikes and Luke is starting to pedal.
Yeah.
He almost hits one of them. But they were just, I think what happened is they just could outride them.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a huge deal. There wasn't a huge fight, thank God, or anything. But it was so close that I think it was just stamina at the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To keep it going. So, but at one point... they do get ahead at some point, probably just because they're so athletic. And so getting to the detour, the order has changed.
Yep.
And it's now Victor and Tammy, Keisha and Jen, Margie and Luke, and Nacho and Taylor.
Yeah.
Pulling up the caboose.
Yeah.
So the detour is either Beijing Opera or Chinese Waiter.
Yep. Of Beijing Opera, they need to go to an opera house and give each other the makeup of a traditional... Chinese opera woman and a traditional Chinese opera man. And they got to go present themselves to the opera master.
Yeah, I guess you can call him that.
Yeah, I guess they called him something like that.
He had a fake, like, beard.
Yeah. And he will give them their next clue.
Yes.
Or you can do Chinese Waiter, where you go to a Chinese restaurant.
They just call it a restaurant.
Oh, that's true. They do. So, you go to a restaurant, and they receive orders in Mandarin, then they have to go to the head chef and ask for these
And then, if they get meals. Them right, they have to wait while the cooks make it, and then serve the food. So, Victor and Tammy are like, done. Chinese Waiter. We're gonna do this.
Yeah.
Everyone else decides to do Beijing Opera, because... you know it's going to be pretty easy. You're putting on, you know, theater makeup, face makeup.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty easy. So, the Athletic Sisters and Margie and Luke decide to do Beijing Opera.
Because they get there right away.
They get there right away.
Margie is a little upset with Luke, saying he's doing it too thick, he's going over. Thing is, it doesn't really seem to make a difference.
It doesn't. They had no idea.
Margie wants it to be a lot more
professional
precise than Luke was doing it. And Luke was just getting angry because she kept looking in the mirror as he was doing it. He's like, just stop moving.
Yeah, well, you quit moving so I can just do this. I just want to get it done. And it didn't really matter how bad it looked.
All you needed to do is just get it done.
Yeah, it didn't really matter how bad it looked. And I'm pretty sure the Athletic Sisters finished first.
Yeah, they finished first.
Then Margie and Luke, and then the Nacho and cheerleaders, who had a hard time even getting there.
Yeah, at first their cabbie takes them to the National Opera House as opposed to the Beijing Opera House.
And, of course, they throw a hissy fit, you know.
Oh, and then they can't find a new taxi after that.
Exactly. Back at Chinese Waiter, Victor and Tammy, they did really good, but they did get one word wrong. They got all the words right except for the...
they said good luck...
squid.
Squid instead of good luck fish.
And it did sound very similar, and Victor explains, you know, it's sometimes the nuance of how you say it. You could be saying the same thing, but if it's like ho and ho...
Yeah.
It makes it completely different.
It's like Kara Arcara.
Exactly. Maybe.
I don't know.
But yeah, they did a really good job. They got through that really, really fast.
Yeah.
And you find out in this leg, there's a U-turn. But it's not a blind U-turn.
Nope.
You have to, if you U-turn somebody, you have to put your picture on there and face the consequences, as Phil says.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
So,
Victor and Tammy
get their first, it's at this place called Win Chong.
Which,
it's
the actually, clue.
The place, and this is going to be important soon,
yeah.
It's right next to the Beijing Opera and the restaurant.
Yeah, it's literally, like, right in that little, like, the same square. And the thing is they knew that. Because the clue read, on foot.
Yeah.
Which means it's not far away.
And they've never all kept, been far away.
Yeah, yeah. They're running up and down the street, going way too far. If they just would have walked out the front door and hung a left.
Yep.
It was right there. It was right there. But Victor and Tammy find this U-turn first, and they decide to U-turn Keisha and Jen, because they know that if it comes down to a foot race, they're
and
not going to
Tammy be even writes, I can't outrun you.
Yeah, on their picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The athletic sisters, they are having a really hard time.
Yeah.
They are getting frustrated because they can't find the this place after the makeup, this Wang Chong Gao, however you say it. Everybody's really getting frustrated. This Win Chong Gao, or however you say it, was really frustrating people, the Not Twin cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah.
Margie and Luke, the athletic sisters. Everybody just put their pouty face on because they couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Seriously, so everybody was really having a hard time, but Margie and Luke, who are friends with Jamie and Kara, were like, let's get some help from a local. Now, half of the time, when they would ask a local, the local would be like, no, it's right here. And they'd be like, no,
they
were there.
Point down there. Yeah, because guess what? That's where it is.
That's where it is. So it was so simple. It was kind of like the whole gorilla. Where would you find the gorilla? At the zoo. And your answer is, no, not real gorillas. This specific statue. And they're like, no, at the zoo.
Yeah, and then in fact, I think it was Luke telling Margie that, no, Mom, we don't need to go so far. They're always really close.
Yeah, it's really close. It says on foot, it's really close. So they finally, Margie and Luke ask this local, and they kind of finally put it together, but they kind of leave Jamie and Kara behind.
Yeah.
They find the place, they get the next clue, and Jamie and Kara, like, they were gone for like 20 minutes. Now, wouldn't you think, one of them even says, I don't remember who because they're not twins. one of them even says, Margie and Luke went back down there and they didn't come back.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be your first clue that, wait a minute, they must have found it?
That would be my first idea.
But everybody is really pouty pants, like, especially, like, the non-twin cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And I can't tell them apart, either Jamie or Kara.
Usually, when it comes down to a bad attitude, it's Jamie.
Yeah, she had a really hard time because Jamie was like, well, let's go back and retrace our steps. And Kara's like, I kind of think we should ask, like, for more help. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think Kara was the one that was holding them back a little bit here.
Yeah.
But she had her logical
reasons. She had a reason.
Yeah,
she had a reason. And in any other situation, that probably would have been the better thing to do.
Yeah.
But in this one, it just so happened to not be in their favor.
And the thing about it is, too, eventually the athletic sisters find.
Mm-hmm.
This.
Yeah, because they're kind of doing their own thing to begin with.
They find out that they are U-turned and they have to go do Chinese waiter.
Yes.
While Kara and Jamie are still pouting.
Pouting and fighting.
The worst day of their lives.
Yeah.
Looking
sitting around.
For the Win Chong to find the next clue.
Yes. So Keisha and Jen, they're U-turned and they need to go do Chinese waiter. And actually, they did a really good job at it.
Yeah.
They only had to go back like 3 or 4 times to get everything right.
What we saw editing-wise, but it doesn't seem... It also seems like they might have went a little easier on them.
Yeah, they probably went a little easier on them. But two, I mean, I think they only had to go back like 3 or 4, maybe 5 or 6 times. And, and I know you said with editing, but if they had to go back anymore, they were in the race.
Like, they were so put out, like they were doing it a lot of times, though. So it had to have not been much.
Yeah, exactly. Because A, they didn't have that attitude.
Yeah.
And B, I mean, they were still in the race. Like, it came down to seconds.
It did.
So, I mean, if it was editing to make it look like it wasn't like that, then Jamie and Carr were really far behind trying to find this place. Either way, I would like to think positively and say they did a good job.
Well, eventually, while the athletic sisters are finishing up Chinese waiter,
mm-hmm.
Kara and Jamie do find
This is my favorite part of the whole episode.
Yeah. Oh, you mean when Kara gets in trouble for Jamie's bad attitude?
Yeah.
From Jamie?
Yeah. Because they get the clue and they're like, oh, it's the U-turn, blah, blah, blah. Now we got to go do this clue. Duh. It's like, oh, blah, blah. And Jamie, like, pulls it out of Kara's hand. And Jamie's like, whatever. Just don't have a bad attitude. We just got to do this. And Kara just is like, you're the one with the bad attitude. And kind of gives this look to the camera.
Yeah, it's totally Jim from The Office kind of look. Just
And I like the sound effect. The boop, boop sound effect.
I thought they just did a little gong sound.
It was something where just like, boop.
Because she makes this face like, huh? And she puts her hands up, like, palms facing the ceiling, like, bah.
Yeah, and she just says, you're the one that always has a bad attitude.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I love it. Just find that clip and just watch it.
It's pretty damn hilarious.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
No, you gotta say it like me. You gotta say it like me. Like, say...
Say...
What?
Say what?
Exactly. So once they get this clue...
Yes.
They find out that it's the...
roadblock at Dongwangmei Yeshe. And that's another street market.
Yeah. Well, they don't get the roadblock yet.
Oh.
The clue says to go to Dongwangmei Yeshe street market, like a food vendor market,
yeah.
You know, like street food. And when they get there, they get the roadblock, which is to eat this plate of Chinese street food.
What's on this plate, Allison?
Oh, it's delicious.
Oh, yes?
It is a plethora of cornucopia, if you will.
Would you say treasure trove?
It's a treasure trove. It's a booby chest of grasshoppers, larva, scorpion, and a whole starfish that's been deep fried.
Yep.
All of this stuff is deep fried. And the thing is it'd be like, you know what? I can do that. This would be one that I would need to do. This would be mine, because I love eating weird things.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
In general.
First thing, Victor is about to eat starfish raw.
Yeah, he just starts to put things in his mouth. Yeah, they're like, oh, we need to cook it.
Wait, we're going to fry all this stuff.
Because at this point, Victor and Tammy are very far ahead.
Yeah, they got
Yeah, especially with that U-turn and them being the only ones that could somewhat competently find the U-turn station.
Yeah.
You know, Victor and Tammy are ahead, and then Margie and Luke get there second.
Yeah.
The athletic sisters get their third, followed very closely by Nacho and cheerleaders.
Yeah.
So Victor and Tammy, they are way ahead. Once they eat all this stuff.
Well, the thing is, Victor's also hamming it up.
Oh, yeah, he's like, oh, it's so bad.
And Tammy's all like, is it gross? Does it taste good? It smells bad.
Yeah.
Is it gross?
It was really cute. Like, I actually would have loved to do this challenge, because I love eating weird things. Victor was kind of, like, telling the camera why he was eating things in certain orders.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I'm going to start with the larva, and then he would eat those, and then he'd be like, oh, the scorpion, you know, because I'm kind of scared of it. I'm going to save that starfish for last, because it scares me. And I would be like, I would have ate that starfish first, because you know it's going to be the grossest.
Yeah.
You know that that's going to be the grossest, because I would save the grasshoppers for last.
Yeah.
Because you know those are going to be kind of tasty.
Those are pretty wide. Why are they eaten too?
Exactly. So I'm like, those probably taste fine. Luckily, they were deep fried.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever.
For Margie and Luke's team, Margie is actually eating the stuff. And she does not seem to be doing so bad.
No, she just... done.
She'll start doing
it. She is the bionic woman. She is the bionic woman.
When Jen and Keisha get there, they're cracking me up. Jen decides to eat. And Keisha does the classic...
Does taste like chicken.
And Jen says...
Hell no!
Which just cracks me up so much.
Yeah, it was really funny because the athletic sisters and the Not Twin Cheerleaders, like, they're neck and neck at this point. I mean, Victor and Tammy are far in the lead, and then staggered after that a little is Margie and Luke, but they're still got a good couple lengths ahead.
But it is down to...
It is down to the wire. It all comes down to eating this stuff,
and
they know it.
Jen is having a hard time getting all this down.
She actually pukes.
Yeah, she actually could. Kara just mans up and just says, meow, 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 meow.
That's how I would have done it.
Yeah, she just, it's so funny. And apparently she drank 4 bottles of water while eating. She is starting to have to pee really bad while they're still in the competition.
Well, that's Jen.
Jen. Did I say Keisha?
Yeah. No, you were still talking about the Not Twin Cheerleaders.
Oh, I thought I switched it up. Sorry.
No. Because you were talking about how well
Kara's doing
done.
Really well.
They did really, really good. And The Athletic Sisters do finish first because they had a little bit of a time thing.
Yep.
But like 2 seconds first. But
they had trouble finding a taxi. Yeah.
So, man, this is just the podcast where we're like one-upping, like, no, it's this. So anyways.
Well, there's just so much going on in this episode.
This episode was so crazy. But what happened was that Jen, in order to, after she threw up, she drank evidently like 4 bottles of water. She was taking, like, eating it like pills, you know, like, just swallow. So she had to pee. She's in the taxi just talking about how much she has to pee. Yeah. Now, we didn't really say what the last clue was. Once you're done eating this, you get the last clue, which is go to Nyang Chow, which
meow
is...
Chow.
Huh?
Meow Chow.
Well, not meow. It was spelled with an N.
Meow.
Well, it was spelled with an N.
Meow.
It's Nyang Chow.
Meow.
And it was where the Beijing Olympics were held.
Yeah, the bird's nest.
The bird's nest. So once you're done eating these things, you have to go there.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to a foot race, but Jen needs to pee.
Yeah.
And they maybe have a couple of minute lead. Yep. On the Not Twin Cheerleaders.
Yep. So,
she's got to pee. She's going to pee
first
herself.
First place, Victor and Tammy.
Of course. They goes without saying.
To the Galapagos.
They do.
And then Marge and Luke come in. They're and second. Then it is seriously a foot race.
It's seriously a foot race. And it all came down to the porta potty pee break.
And Keisha and Jen, they take it. They wait for Jen to pee.
You have to. Because Keisha was like, you know what? You can't pee on yourself.
Yeah.
I can't have you peeing on yourself on TV. Like, they just happen to find a port-a-john.
Yeah.
And they go in, and they you know, it's like, I have to. I can't. I can't make it. But in the meantime, Jamie and Kara.
Yep.
They pull ahead.
Yeah.
And check in third.
And what, Phil fakes him out, though.
Yes.
He's like, I'm sorry to have to tell you. You're still have to keep racing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Phil. And then he says they have a chance to be the first full female team to win the Amazing Race.
Awesome.
I did not know no full female team had never won.
The pair of females, harder to find. There's less of them.
Yeah, we started talking about that later.
Because normally it's either dude and chick or like dude and dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's either husband and wife. You know, what, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know.
Is it ever really husband and wife that makes it really far?
God, there's been 14 seasons, I don't know. I don't remember. Like, what, the Amazing Race happens so quickly, like, one after another
really
every
does.
Year, that I, you know, except for Dallas and Tony, I really don't remember that many people from last season, even. Because it's like, flush, gotta keep going, because they do 2 a year.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know. So it's like, man, but it looks like our final three are going to be Victor and Tammy, Margie and Luke, and Jamie and Kara.
Yep.
And it's going to be a crazy finale.
Oh, you know it is. Crazy finale.
Looks like it's in, like, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah, it looks like it's in
Hawaii. Because they usually end in American soil, don't they?
Yeah, they always end on American soil. They leave from America, they come back to America.
All right.
But yes, I'm really excited to see who wins. Who do you have your money on?
Jeez, for some reason I think
Who do you want to win and who do you think will win?
Actually, who I want to win is Margie and Luke, and I actually think they might pull it off.
Okay. I think I would love for Margie and Luke to win.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be Victor and Tammy.
Really?
I think it's going to be Victor and Tammy because in the preview you saw that it was really physical. And when things get physical, Luke does not do well.
Yeah.
He is very much, like, a pessimist when it comes to physical things. Not that he can't do them, but he gets very frustrated.
That's true.
And there's only so much that Margie can pull.
Yeah.
There's only so much weight that Margie can pull. Where Tammy will just shut up and do it when Victor's yelling at her.
Yeah. I just have the idea that she might be, like, the horse that will not take the break and run themselves to death. And she might get herself in trouble.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I just hope she doesn't pass out again.
Margie.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm really excited. This has been a really good season. I mean, we didn't have any team, really, that was just like, oh, you're so stupid.
Yeah.
Like we did with the frat brothers.
Yeah.
God, team Dandrew. We didn't have any team that were like, oh, Jamie and Kara really depends on the episodes. I hate or love them, depending on the episode.
I usually generally like Kara.
I really don't like Jamie
when she's getting mad at cabbies and like, there's no need for that.
Yeah,
like,
this is why I didn't want to come to China. It sucks.
Like, slow your roll.
Slow your roll?
Yeah, like calm
a,
down,
like a
baby.
Sugar roll?
Like sugar roll. Sugar roll. I know, cinnamon roll.
Tasty cake?
Oh, tasty cake, hell yeah.
But yeah, I hope it's Margie and Luke, but I think, of course, I don't know. I mean, Victor and Tammy have been doing really good on these last couple legs, but it's in, like, their second home.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. They do have a significant lead, though.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens next week on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. You know, we're down to three chefs.
Three chefs that came from across America to try and win a position at Chef Ramsay's new restaurant in the Borgata Hotel.
See, this is weird. I wanted to talk about this a little bit.
I think I've tried to talk about this, and you fought me on it.
What?
The position that they get.
No. Oh. It is a position that they get. They get to be head chef. Head executive
they get to be
for
executive
a year.
Sous chef.
I don't think so.
I think so. I don't think they get to be executive chef.
No, I think they get to be executive chef. Because when they go and visit the chefs from past seasons, like, that's their restaurant, pretty much. It's kind of like Last Restaurant Standing, where it's like you go into business with these people. But I don't know. In past seasons, it's been restaurants that Gordon has stake in.
Yeah.
It's been like he's either full owner or part owner, or it's his concept. This Borgata Hotel one?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a Gordon Ramsay restaurant. I haven't seen anything that tells me yes, no. And they don't say at Gordon Ramsay's restaurant in Borgata Hotel, which is what they did all these other previous seasons. Like, ooh, you get to be part of Gordon Ramsay's London in Los Angeles, which
See,
was last season.
Last season seems to be the only one that I thought was like that.
No, because it was, like, Las Vegas, like, a year before. And you know he's got steak. Yeah. I mean, it's I wouldn't say it's Gordon Ramsay's restaurant.
Yeah, but last year, definitely.
Definitely,
that was,
it was
you
at
were
the
working
London.
At, yeah,
it was
London,
at the London,
yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know if this is a Gordon Ramsay restaurant. But it's definitely somebody Gordon Ramsay knows to get you a job.
Yeah.
And no matter what, if you're executive chef or executive sous chef, I'm pretty sure they're executive chef.
Okay.
Because that position is worth like $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
But you're only guaranteed to stay there for a year.
Yeah, that's why.
That's your contract.
It seems like sous chef, executive chef is a little much.
No, because most of the time, they've stayed on. Like, when they went and visited the dude in Las Vegas and stuff like that. It's been over a year since that season's A, been filmed.
Yeah.
And then B, to film another, you know, to edit it and air it, and then edit and, you know, film, edit, and air another season. It's been over a year. So I don't know. It just, I don't know. The other one seemed a lot more glamorous. Las Vegas. The Borgata. In Atlantic City. It's kind of like the Real Housewives of New Jersey. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
gotcha.
You know it's this great hotel. Like, the Borgata has been known for putting in good restaurants in formerly kind of Atlantic City.
Yeah.
You know, cheap. You know, you think of Atlantic City, you think kind of like cheap Vegas for the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know.
I think of Old Vegas.
Yeah, you think of, like, Old Vegas, like Fremont Street, you know, but Borgata's changing that. So that's pretty cool, but it doesn't seem as
glamorous.
Cool. I don't know, they were like, oh, look, there's a Wolfgang Puck's. I'm like, yeah, there's a Wolfgang Puck's in LAX, too.
So this, I can go down the Gelson's,
Bobby Flay's.
And there's a, he's got
there's a Wolfgang
Puck
pizza
section.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know, it seems like Gordon maybe doesn't, maybe it's just because last season it was at the London.
Maybe.
You know, but I mean, other than that, it seemed like all the, I know that I haven't been paying that much attention in the past couple of seasons, but it seems like the whole thing about it was you're working in Gordon, one of Gordon Ramsay's kitchens, to his standards.
Yeah.
He's not just like handing you a job, You yeah. need to have Gordon Ramsay standards because who knows if he's going to show up.
Yep.
You know, so, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
I guess I'll have to do more research on that. I'll get on the horn and call Gordon himself.
All right. He's our buddy.
He is. We play soccer together on the weekends.
You play soccer?
And by soccer, I mean watch it while eating some hot wings.
Yeah, I was going to say, soccer, she means a handful of cider.
A handful of cider? What am I?
You just got two pints of cider in each
hand. In each hand? Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like, you know, I went down to the Cider River and had to like put my hand in and bring it to my mouth.
Man, the Cider River. The cigarette trees. Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
There's no cops there. So it makes it so great.
Wow, this is a really weird episode today. That should be the name of this show is
weird. Big Rock Candy Mountain.
No, it should be a really weird episode.
Oh my god, I wish I had a copy of that song. I could just play it at the end of the show now.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh god damn it, Allison. Allison is not well versed in folk music, everybody. That just breaks my little heart.
Sorry.
It's okay, because we're not here to talk about folk music. We're not here to make friends. We are here to talk about
Hell's Kitchen. Right. So it's down to, in this episode, which, as we said before, is down to three chefs. It's Andrea.
Yep.
Danny.
Yep.
And Paula.
Yes.
And I called that Danny and Paula would be in the final. Yeah, we called it like week like three that they would be in the finale.
Well, I think we called Paula really early on, and then we called Danny like a week or two later.
Yeah, you know, like, you knew that they were going to make it far in this competition.
Yeah.
So, they, at the end of the last episode, remember I told y'all about, ooh, they get so excited, it's a surprise, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, it's probably their families. Guess who was right?
Allison was this right.
This kid. Guess who has two thumbs and loves beer? This kid.
Nobody can, that joke doesn't work if you can't see.
This kid.
She's pointing at me with her thumbs. It's odd.
Yeah, you know, kind of like a stabbing motion.
Don't stab at me with your thumbnail.
I keep my fingernails more clipped than you do.
It's all right. I'm a fancy lady.
I'm a pretty lady. So they get to see their families. Whoopity-doo-bah.
Yeah.
They're refreshed and they only get to see their families for like 10 minutes or something like that.
I know, like what the damn?
Yeah. What was the point of that? But the next morning, because of their families, they're ready to go.
Yep.
And they need to serve lunch for 100 patrons.
Mystery patrons.
And they need to make 100 tasting portions. So small portions. Yep. Like, you know, smaller portions.
Yeah.
They have 90 minutes
to
make a dish that will impress these patrons as well as Gordon.
Uh-huh.
So that's the challenge.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew was talking to herself a lot while she was
cooking. Come on, girl. Just keep going, girl.
She's like, I gotta root for myself. Keep chopping, girl. No one's gonna root for me.
Because no one else likes you.
She's likable. I think she's likable.
Likable like a porcupine's likable.
She's more likable maybe than other skunk. People that got kicked off this show.
Like Ben
or Lacey or... Well, make fun of Lacey for a second for me.
Make fun of Lacey for a second?
This shit comes natural. You hate her.
Well, no, I gotta save it up for next week.
Oh, yeah.
Because next week, as we all know, they bring back kicked off chefs.
To cook.
To help. Yeah, to help be like the sous chefs and stuff. And you know Lacey's back. I saw it. I seen it in the previews.
But anyway,
Lacey is back.
We find out who the patrons are. They're chefs from the best restaurants in Los Angeles. This is not just going up the city walk and finding a bunch of chefs.
Right.
They're like, hey, Buca de Beppo guy, let's go.
Hey, guy from Torta's, the Mexican place down the road.
Oh my god, I would put him there.
He probably has a Michelin star.
He's got to be at least Zagat rated.
Yeah.
Because all these places have Michelin stars or Zagat rated, or they've been places that have been the recipient of the James Beard Awards.
Yeah, so this is like no laughing matter. This is nothing to sneeze at.
Like Gordon said, Los Angeles must be starving because all the best people
are here.
Yes.
So this is a huge opportunity for them because if they biff it, you can't work in Los Angeles, pretty much what we're saying. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you do really well, thank you, Gordon, because I just impressed all these Los Angeles sets. So they make their fish.
Yeah.
Paula made poached sturgeon.
Okay.
Danny made some halibut.
With some fruit.
With some fruit, because he was like, fish and fruit, that's what I do.
It's my deal.
Every minute, every hour, every day. So sparingly. and then, what the hell did Andrea make?
I don't know. It was middling. No one really loved it. Nobody really hated it.
No, I actually did pretty good.
Didn't win, it didn't lose.
I forget what she made. It doesn't really matter, because this show isn't about food.
Yeah, this show's not about food.
Heaven forbid the show be about food. Yeah. But yeah, it came down to, surprisingly,
yeah,
Danny's dish being not liked, because the chefs had to vote for their favorite and their least favorite.
Yeah.
76%
yeah,
thought Danny's was the worst.
Yeah.
That is, like, astounding. Not only did they not like it, they hated it.
Danny gets quite embarrassed about all this.
That, and because, like, Paula's plate, like, was nicely arranged, and there was a good portion, and, yeah, you know, the same thing with Andrea's plate, like, it was good portions. Danny's was like, here's some fish with some fruit, and yeah, a little bit of rice. Here you go. And it didn't look pretty. Yeah. It seemed like he just went, here you go, like you would in a cafeteria.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that had a lot to do with it. But like I said, he's really embarrassed, because he just biffed, yep, it in front of all these Los Angeles chefs.
Yeah.
Thank God that this didn't take place in Florida, or else he'd have to move. but when it came down to the favorite,
yeah,
also 76%.
Over 76%.
Loved
Paula.
Paula's.
Yeah.
Her sturgeon, her poached, yep, sturgeon was great. Poached. It's hard to say that really fast. Poached sturgeon was really good. I called it.
You did.
I called it early on. I'm like, Paula's going to win.
She's got it.
Anytime I can say Paula's going to win this, yeah, I do. Because she probably is.
Yep. So her reward for winning is the full Hollywood pampering treatment. And a surprise tomorrow.
A surprise tomorrow. I mean, she's going to get her hair did, nails did.
Fancy, yeah. Makeup'd.
Makeup did.
Yeah. She's going to get all set up.
She's going to get all kinds of hoity-toity.
Yep.
Is what's going to happen.
And the punishment Danny and Andrea
is they need to clean up the dining room, yep, from all these hundreds of people eating. Then set the dining room, which includes laundry, which means cleaning the tablecloths and the napkins and
ironing them.
And then starting to get ready for service.
Yep.
It's not going to be a good day because Danny is like, man.
He's beating himself up over it.
Yeah, and Andrea, she's like, huh, I've never seen Danny so down on himself. Normally, yeah, he's a confident, kind of an overconfident,
yeah,
you know, kind of jerk face. But it showed today that, yeah, he's still got a long way to go. He's, yeah, a young chef. He can make those mistakes, yeah, you know. And I don't know if it just, I don't know what made it so horrible. Fish and fruit, yeah, you know, citrus and fish, you know.
Yeah, they go good together.
They go good together. You put a little rice under there. I don't know what it was. They were just like, oh, they hated it. They absolutely hated it.
Yeah, did not work somehow.
Yeah. So Paula's on her way to get her fancy hoity-toity day. Yep. And who gets to accompany her?
Jean-Philippe,
who is kind of chatting her up in the car a little bit.
Yeah, a little flirty action going on.
So is there a Mrs. Jean-Philippe, a girlfriend, a wife? No, I am single. It's hard to find someone out of, you know, in the business. You're always working. Yeah, Jean-Philippe. Want to make out? I bet they did.
Ooh.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Oh, Jean-Philippe.
I would. I'd be like, he's French.
You scamp.
He is French. You tramp. But I use that, you know, like the Charlie Chaplin tramp. Not a tramp and, you know. You know, I mean, like, not like gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
Okay.
Even though that's the same thing.
No, they are. That is the same thing.
Yeah. But I couldn't think of another. I didn't just want to be like, whatever, she's a dirty tramp.
You mind, like, from the song The Lady is a Tramp?
I guess so, yeah. Because that's why The Lady is a Tramp.
Yep. There you go.
I'm trying to think, but, you know, but.
This Charlie Chaplin's tramp is the old school tramp, mm-hmm, which is like a hobo. Only, they
like
don't really work.
Gypsy, tramp, and thieves.
But they,
yeah,
don't really beg for your money.
Yeah.
They're just poor, and they're
yeah. But that's why the lady is a tramp. Because she She doesn't go to parties with diamonds or pearls. That's totally not how the song sounds at all.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It's a little, that's a little sped up. It is.
Do it again, then.
That's totally the song.
That's way too many beats. Do 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 do.
Yeah, it's just a different arrangement. It is.
Tramp.
Fresh.
What the French?
All right.
What the French?
So, Paula gets back from her big day out.
And making out with Jean-Philippe.
Ooh la la.
That's what she said. Because he's fresh.
But, you know, Paula gets a chance to talk to Danny and Andrea a little bit as they're folding napkins.
And she was really cool about it. She was like, hey, I'll come help, guys. Come
on. She didn't really flaunt it or anything, which is nice.
She was like, I'll come down and help in a couple minutes. And then she went and took a nap.
Yeah. But the next day is the time for the second surprise, and that's the fact that Paula is going to be on Good Day LA.
Probably one of the worst morning shows in Los Angeles.
Oh my goodness. I remember when they tried to go national.
Yeah, that Good didn't Day work. Life. That's how bad it was.
Ugh. This is something that appeals to apparently LA people and LA people only. And not us.
And the thing is it does appeal because people watch it. That's the
it's
thing.
It's the highest rated morning show in L.A.
I know. People watch it.
It is. I don't get it.
The thing is I don't really know any other morning show in L.A.
Well, no, it competes against, like, the Today Show and stuff like that, yeah.
They count that?
Yeah. Well, it's the highest rated in that time, yeah.
That's so insane. It's so retarded.
A little bit of me likes that, like, something
they
local.
They have no production quality. Like, half the time they're like, I don't know, we're filming right now.
I love Steve. I love Steve.
Yeah. What's pissing Steve off this week?
I do kind of like that everyone kind of knows what Good Day LA is due to the soup.
And I love the soup.
Soup is very good. But the thing about Paula being on Good Day LA is that he's having Andrew and Danny wash the carpet and the TVs in the long hallway. Lined.
You know, the one that has all the fake flames? The TVs that show fake flames? That hallway.
Yeah, the exit hallway. Yeah. And also the entrance hallway.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
And he has them tune it, too. Good Day, LA.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, we get to watch the news as we're cleaning the TV.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And then Paula's on.
It's really funny. Paula, I think, did a good job.
She did do a pretty good job. She was pretty personal, especially not being able to prep or anything. She didn't know.
Yeah.
She found out in the limo ride with Gordon on the way there.
Well, we're going to a live TV morning show.
Yeah, it's like, it could have totally bombed.
Yep.
For real. Could have totally bombed. And Gordon was just making a little something really quick, and she talked a little bit, and he talked a lot, and they talked about
Gordon
House Kitchen.
Gordon was impressed with how well she did, too.
Gordon was impressed, and of course, Gordon's a pro at this, so I mean... Yeah. If you're up, you know, that's like having to play catch with Sammy Sosa or something, you know, or like Ryan Dempster.
Or horse with Michael Jordan. Come on, he would school you.
No, it's not so much about schooling you, it's going to be awesome no
matter
what.
But if you keep up playing horse with Michael Jordan, even a little bit, that's awesome. Let's say you got H.O. before he took you down. Come on, you're feeling good about yourself.
That's true, because at least you got the H.O. Yep. But see, I was going for more an innocent game, like catch.
Oh, horse is pretty innocent.
That's competition, though.
Nah. No, yeah. I always see a horse playing in the Olympics.
When I first...
It's not serious competition.
When I first...
No, it's competition like hangman and is like a competition.
Hey, rock, paper, scissors is a
ridiculous
sport now.
Oh, God.
Okay, when you first said... A horse and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, what did you think? Equestrian?
A horse and Michael Jordan. Not playing horse, but a horse, like, nay!
Like riding around?
Like shooting a basketball.
Oh, a horse playing.
a horse playing basketball against Michael Jordan.
Wow, I love how your mind works.
I was like, wait a minute, how does that have anything to do with, like, playing catch with Ryan Dempster, pitcher for the Cubs? I'm like, a horse would do terribly against Michael Jordan.
But, you have to admit, it would be fun to watch.
Kind of like Hell's Kitchen is fun to watch.
Hell's Kitchen is great to watch.
Yeah.
Especially when it's sabotage night.
It is sabotage night. Let's get into this service, because each remaining chef is going to get a chance at the pass.
Yep.
All right, and if you haven't been watching the show, the pass is Gordon's job. You know, this isn't good. This is good. I need this now. Blah, blah, blah.
It's the quality check.
Yeah.
This person it's running calls the brigade. Out the orders and checks the quality of the orders before they go out to the customers.
You're running the brigade.
Yeah,
is what you're doing. And everyone's going to get a chance at it. So,
And also, just so they won't be short-staffed, Chef Scott and Gloria will be in the kitchen with the contestants.
Which means it's Gordon's little moles to sabotage things.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome. And I was actually surprised at how well I did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How well you did playing the home version of the game?
I was playing the home version of the game. So, the first to go up is Paula.
Yep.
Paula's pretty nervous, but she does reach her stride about halfway through. But Gloria... during a garnish, because Gloria was pretty much on garnish, she puts out a squash puree instead of carrot puree, and Paula doesn't notice.
Yeah.
So Ramsay's like,
come on.
What does that taste like?
Yeah.
And she goes, F, squash.
Yeah,
you suck, is what Gordon pretty much said. But, you know, there's, you know, fool me once. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, shame on me. When pretty much the same situation comes up again.
Scott brings up a spinach soup.
As opposed to watercress soup. Same color, different taste. Yeah. She catches it spot on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd say she did a pretty good job.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know why they don't see this coming. He does this every
year. Every year. Exactly. He sabotages it every year.
Oh, yeah.
So, next is Danny.
Danny comes
up. And he starts off... really shaky.
He's still maybe feeling a little weird about the day before.
Because on his very first ticket...
Yeah.
You look at him and you know something. He knows something's wrong with that ticket. But he can't put his finger on it. So he calls out... He goes, it's a five-cover table.
Yep.
And he calls out the appetizers.
Yeah, the four of the appetizers.
And Gordon's like... Yeah? Like, waiting for him to catch it? No, the problem is...
Danny he is looking confused at this ticket after he's called out.
Yeah, he knew something was wrong, and that's what got me, is he knew something was wrong. And this happened right before they go to commercial, when Gordon's like, stop, stop, stop. And I'm like, he only called out four things, and he said it's a five-cover table.
Yep.
Five-cover means there's five people sitting there. I caught it right away. As soon as he said them out loud, I caught it. I was like, wait a minute. That's four, not five.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he was nervous or whatever, but he knew something was wrong.
He knew it was wrong.
And it was just right in front of his face.
Yeah.
You know, so when we get back from commercial, Gordon's like, God,
Come on.
Give it back to Jean-Philippe. And Jean-Philippe's like, oh, sorry. And he goes and he fixes
it. And also, there's another problem with the ticket. There's no time on the ticket to say when it was ordered.
Yeah, there is no time on the ticket, which I didn't know was a requirement. I knew five cover.
They should know. I mean, that's not probably something that gets shouted out, but so they can keep track of tickets.
That I'll forgive, because it's not like Gordon is like telling them that.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a lot of experience with the way that runs, you know, like Danny, you might not know. That might not be standard in every kitchen. You know what I mean? So I'll give him that. But yeah, it's pretty funny because Danny, he is just so nervous up there.
Yeah,
his voice is cracking.
Little Bobby Brady.
He's putting like spaghetti on a plate instead of a bowl.
But he does stop Andrea, overcooks some scallops,
mm-hmm.
and he kicks him off the pad. Like, but while doing this, he misses when Gloria gives him some undercooked potatoes.
I knew these potatoes were going to be undercooked. You see them in the pan.
Yeah.
You know those aren't cooked.
Yeah.
You know it. The color is, like, still white.
Yep.
You know these are not cooked golden potatoes.
Yeah.
And when they go up there, as soon as she starts to bring them up, I'm like, those ain't cooked.
Yeah.
Just by looking at them. And, of course, he puts them right on a plate, and he picks them up with his hand, puts them on the plate to, like, plate them. And Gordon's like, dude.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Just eat. I mean, I could see maybe the color. Oh, he didn't look at the color. But as soon as you put it in your hand,
yeah,
you know those aren't cooked. And he's like, oh. They're hard as a rock. Yeah, get back on your effing station, Danny.
Yep.
For real. Like, he did not catch his stride at all.
No.
So now it's Andrea's turn.
Yep. And Andrea is being pretty aggressive.
She is being super aggressive because she knows things are getting sabotaged at this point. Yeah. So she is like,
Almost on the defensive. Like, anything that's kind of anything. Wrong.
She sent back everything.
Yeah.
And Scott, and the thing is, she sent back almost everything, but she doesn't catch the mistake. Scott put up the wrong kind of fish. It's not dory. He put up halibut.
Yeah.
And she didn't catch it.
Then after that, it's on even more.
Yeah, after that, she's like, this doesn't have enough salt. This doesn't have this. Yeah. This is overcooked. This is a, come on, guys. Da-da-da. Quit bringing me wrong this. Quit bringing me wrong that. And Gordon's just like, oh, my God. And Scott.
Yeah.
Who's normally kind of hard-nosed.
Yeah.
It's actually like, F this girl. I cannot take
I'm going to punch her in the face.
He actually said, I want to punch her in the face.
Yeah.
Because she's being too much.
Yeah.
And she's way over the top, but they did get through the service.
Yep.
It was a really good night for them.
They did a good job, yeah.
It was a really good night for them.
And at the end, Ramsey even says, hey, what's different about me tonight?
And Paula goes, your hair?
There's a spot on your jacket? No, I think he is smiling.
He's smiling. They finally did a good service.
Perfect service, yeah.
Yeah, they finally did a good service.
Yep.
So he has the final three go and decide who shouldn't go on in the competition.
Yeah, he's like, I don't need a consensus. I just want to know what you each really think.
Yeah. So Danny and Andrea obviously nominate each other.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason they're going to nominate Paula. She did stellar.
And Paula feels a little uncomfortable because she's basically
picking who goes home.
Yeah. But she also feels awesome because no one's going after her.
Yeah. I mean, that says a lot.
Yeah.
You know, final three and no one picks you?
Yeah.
You know, so,
So Paula admits that she thinks Andrea should go. Be eliminated.
Yeah. Andrea should go. And Ramsey's decision is
obviously Paula should
Paula staying. That's
then
a given.
He kind of grills Andrea and Danny on why each of them should stay.
Yeah.
And I never know why he asks them this. He always seems to roll his eyes and like throw his brow and like run his hand from his chin all the way up his face to his hair and shake it. Like he's just all like,
well, that's because they give him these metaphorical answers about, I give 110%, I give this. I think he wants, I effed up, but that's not how I am.
The thing was, this time it seemed like they gave him those answers. And he still is like, ugh.
Well, no, it's, and I think, I mean, he was just like, well, I'm better, you know, not I'm better than Andrew, but he's like, I have more experience than Andrew, I've been doing better than Andrew in the competition, da-da-da-da. And it's like, you know, I think he just wants, I'm better than this.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, he wants technical. He's like, I did this. I know what I did. I'm not giving you an excuse and how, oh, I really want this. I work 110%. He's like, we all do.
Maybe to me, after Ben, I would just be happy that any answer did not take more than a minute.
Yeah, more than 20 minutes. But yeah, so in the end, I think we all know who goes home.
Andrea gets sent home.
Andrea goes home. That's not too much of a shocker.
But Gordon's really nice about it.
He's like, you have a lot of fight, girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always nice when Gordon's not just like, you suck. Get out of my kitchen. He's like, you know what?
Yeah.
You should be proud of what you did here. And she should. She came back from, like, next to nothing. I mean, being the bane of everybody's existence. You know, being told, you need to go home. You need to go home.
Yeah, who are you? You just graduated.
You just graduated.
School.
I don't have to do my credentials. And I also kind of, it's like, you know, they show a nice little montage of them leaving. Because normally when they leave Hell's Kitchen, it's like, this is where you effed up.
Yeah.
This one, it was like, you know, it showed her good and her bad and her shining moments and her down moments. And this is down to the final two.
Yep.
This is it.
This is it.
So next week, we get the finale of Amazing Race.
Yeah, I know.
And the finale of Hell's Kitchen.
Ooh la la.
And then starts up Charm School.
Then we get Charm School.
And then we get Charm School. So it's one of those things where I love Gordon Ramsay.
I know you love Gordon Ramsay.
I do. And I think that he might actually have a really good competition on his hands this season for the finale. Because normally you can kind of tell, oh, this person's going to school this one.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to see.
We're going to see. And normally, you know, it's kind of like, I would like this one to win, but you know this one's going to win. Man, this one, I think Paula's going to win.
Yeah.
But Danny's got a really good chance. Yeah, what do you think?
I still think it's going to be Paula.
Yeah.
But I think Dandy's going to give her a good run for her money.
I called Paula, like, week two.
I think we called
Paula. I was like, she's going to win this competition without saying a word.
Yep.
And,
we must be friends. Kumbaya, my love. No.
You were just trailing out.
You cut me off.
I cut you off. Because it's time for ratings.
You cut me off with Jennifer.
I know,
Hell's Kitchen. Yeah, so ratings.
Ratings. Amazing Race. This was a solid 6 energy drink.
I was going to give it 5 energy drinks, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to give it 5 energy drinks. It's great, and I can't wait for the finale.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited for it.
The only thing that kept me giving it from, like, 6 or 7 was Jamie's bad attitude.
Yeah. But I there's just certain points. I had to give it 6.
Yeah.
I just had to. Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen, I actually kind of liked this episode because we actually had quality, cooking. And
yeah,
we actually had quality, like, chefs come in, which normally doesn't happen in Hell's Kitchen. Yeah, it's normally like, oh, here's this random chef.
Go on, yeah.
Yeah, so I am actually going to give it 3 energy drinks.
I was
going to
give it 4.
This You're to just me one was
a highly, highly, that's right, that's exactly what I'm doing. A really highly enjoyable show.
Yeah, it was really good. I really, really liked it. I really, really liked it, so... I can't wait to see who wins both shows.
I know. Next week.
It's really hard for me.
Next week is our big finale show, I guess.
It's really hard for me to have not watched Hell's Kitchen today while at work to see who wins.
Getting to watch Charm School.
Charm School. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be a cliche, but I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah. Oh, we actually, and I hope I put these in the right order. I think I did.
We have made a huge friend in Patrick. Who is our loyal listener?
I heart Patrick.
Avid fan. We heart Patrick so much.
He just seems like a cool guy.
He is a cool guy. And he called in. Actually, he called in from a very unique and exciting location for us.
Yeah. So, I hope I got these in the right order. It's actually very important.
Yeah.
All right.
If not, we'll stop them right away and change it.
It's pretty easy to tell.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Allison. It's Patrick from New York. You will never guess where I am right now. Nope, you're wrong. I am on set for Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares right now. I'm calling from the bathroom. Yep, it's PJ Steakhouse, which has been revised, and I will give you all the dirt as soon as I have some. So far, the bread, not so good. Butter, too cold. Can't spread it. Boo, boo. Love you guys. Bye!
So that was our first call from Patrick. Excited, had some bread.
PJs.
So, he calls us back a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is post-meal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is post-meal.
Hello again, guys. It's Patrick. Yeah, this is what happens when I get too excited about something. I just got back from our little stint on Kitchen Nightmares, and it turns out we weren't at the all-redone fancy-schmancy restaurant. Oh, no. We were at it while it's still in the larval before stage. Holy crap. No Gordon Ramsay in sight. Just really fucking bad food. Terrible service. And a Snow Queen Nazi whore bitch of a manager. But you'll probably see all that on the show when it airs. Keep an eye out for it. It's the PJ Steakhouse episode in Barstow, Queens. I don't know if that helps. They didn't give us an air date, but it'll be something. Love you, bye!
Love you, too! I love Patrick because he reminds me of so many of my friends.
He just reminds me of a guy.
Yeah, he reminds me of so many of my friends. Like, if he was out here in L.A., we would totally, like...
Patrick, you need to come out to L.A.
Be the best of friends. I'm sorry that he didn't get to eat at the new revamped restaurant.
I actually, whenever this airs, I want to talk to Patrick.
I do.
We might have to Skype him in.
Yeah, we might have to Skype him in to be like, you give us the real dirt. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, even though he was there in the terrible. But Gordon Ramsay was there.
Or at least, like, be there when Gordon shows up to, like, eat the food and then go throw up or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to know, my personal question, how did Patrick even stumble upon this? You know, was it one of those things where it's like, oh, they're shooting here, and he's like, I'm going to go eat there. Or did he just stumble
Patrick
upon
just
it?
Just seems to be a really smart guy who's in the know.
He might be, because I remember, but the thing is when they were doing that pizza place in Burbank right by our location here, I had no idea.
No, I didn't know.
I mean, you could tell something was going on, but I didn't know. Maybe in, like, even, Queens,
you
it's a little
a bunch
more obvious.
Of cameras around, and you're just like, whatever.
You're blocking my street.
Yeah, I was like, come on.
So maybe in Queens, it's a little different. Yeah. You know, when something's there, you really, really... I bet it's kind of like Chicago. You know when Matthew Perry is shooting 3 to Tango on the bridge outside of the Chicago sometimes. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure that's what it was, but...
See, I don't know how many of our listeners grew up in the country. I did.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you get stuck behind a combine. Going down the road, or a big piece of farming equipment, and you're like, ugh. Be like, I live in the country. This is what it is. That's how it is in L.A. when you see a bunch of, like, catering vans and trucks and cameras.
The electric generator,
like,
trucks.
You're just like, ugh.
Which always happens.
This. Oh, well, but this is where I live. I live in Hollywood, yeah. You know.
It just seems like right around our studio here is, like...
Oh, our
the place
studio?
To be.
The studio where we record I'm Not Here to Make Friends?
Yeah, I'm Not Here to Make Friends studios. Yeah. we actually own office space and all that kind of fun stuff.
It's we spend a lot more money on this podcast than you think.
Just don't talk to Lincoln Hyatt.
That guy will lie to you about where we record.
He will lie to you about where we record. But it seems like that's kind of the thing, especially where we're located. You know, there's always a motel that needs, or a bar, or a restaurant, or a sidewalk that is completely taken over by some production.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I would love to hear more of the story, and if there's any pictures, if, you know, it would be great for Patrick. We know Patrick is listening. If Patrick wants to write up a little review, we'll put it up on the website.
Yeah.
A specific review of the food he ate.
And I want to talk to him more.
As soon as that episode airs, and I'm assuming it's going to be over the summer, because that's usually when Kitchen Nightmares airs is over the summer. So I'm assuming maybe August, July, late July, early August.
I thought it was always the beginning of the season. I thought it waited until, like, August. And then,
well, I said late July, August.
You know, September, and then halfway through, then they switched to Kitchen Nightmares for the second half of the season. So that way we have new Ramsay all season long.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. As long as there's Gordon all year round. But I'm assuming since Kitchen Nightmares is ending, like, now, that, like, by end of July, August,
maybe.
We'll be seeing it. If not, probably September. But, definitely soon. So as soon as that happens, we'll be getting in touch with Patrick to get all the real dirt.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get all the real dirt. I'm excited. That really excited me to get that phone call.
Yeah.
That he thought, not only that it was awesome, but that he thought to call us.
Yeah, Patrick makes us feel special inside.
We're programmed into his phone. I can't. He probably has an iPhone and he looked up the website. But
maybe.
I would like to think that we were a recently called number.
I like it.
I love it. I love that we have cool fans like that.
And if you want to be cool like Patrick, all you have to do is dial 206-202-3261. Leave us a voice message.
Yeah, you can leave us a voice message, or you can email us at notmakefriends@gmail.com and let us know what's going on in your lives, because we certainly let you know what's going on in ours.
You can visit our website at notmakefriends.com.
We also have a Twitter. You can follow us. We're just at Not Make Friends. Imagine that.
Funny enough. We have the Facebook group, which we need to update more often.
We really do. But yeah, just do that. Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Tell your friends about us.
Tell your neighbors about us.
Thank you very much for listening.
Exactly. And we'll be back next week with our huge, awesome finale episode. Not our finale. Other people's finale.
We're still going.
See you next week, guys.